Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. We've got some visitors with us, and we're very thankful that you have come to be with us. We hope that the service is encouraging to you, and most of all, we hope that we're glorifying God today in sincerity and truth. Once a month, starting this month, we're going to discuss one of the many areas of life that Proverbs talks about. I asked some people recently about one of the greatest insights that they've had from the book of Proverbs. And one man who's preaching now and is an elder as well, he said that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes were the books that helped him to begin believing in God. And you might not normally think of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes in that way. But he said that as he read through it, he came to realize that this is life. This can help me make the decisions I need to make in my life. He was looking for that. He was looking for some help. Because we all know that there's times where we feel lost. And we don't know what to do. And we're going to talk quite a bit about that this morning. But he said that those books really helped him to see this is wisdom from God. Because if I follow this, this will give me the best life I can possibly have here. And he said from there he began to read the other books, began to believe in Jesus, and became a Christian. And as I said, he's now preaching the gospel and serves as an elder at a church not too far from here. And so I think that's a powerful testament to some wonderful things we can learn from the book of Proverbs. And there's things for all of us here, young and old. And so I hope that we're able to get a lot out of this study. Don't know quite how long it'll last. It may last through all of next year. There's lots to talk about in Proverbs. We're going to try not to hammer down on too much at once. But we need to begin with the main theme of the book of Proverbs, and that's wisdom. We need wisdom in this life. I'm going to begin by just reading Proverbs 8 and verse 1 through Proverbs 9 and verse 6. This is the call of wisdom, and I want you to really think about it. It's a little bit of a long passage, but I want you to think about what God through Solomon is telling us here. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things." This is wisdom personified. That's who she is here. Verse 7. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Wisdom, in chapter 9 and verse 1, has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. One thing you're going to notice about Proverbs is that it is general principles. You know, there are commands in the Bible that are, yes, we must do this or we must not do that. There are statements of truth. This is true, and by definition, the opposite is false. But Proverbs makes very clear that the teachings of the book are general teachings. They are usually true. You will find passages that speak of, there's one verse, I can't remember where it is, but it says, do not speak to a scoffer. And the very next verse says, speak to a scoffer. Well, that helps us to understand. It's saying, well, you know, this could happen if you speak to a scoffer, so it may be better not to. And then this verse says, but if you speak to him, this is what you should do. In the passage we just read, it says, seek wisdom, not gold or silver, but it says wisdom will give you wealth. It's a general thing. Generally, the people that are wise in life, those are the ones that are blessed most often. And so there's a lot of general principles. So you can't take everything, and it's not saying, you know, if you heed everything in the book of Proverbs, God's going to pour gold and silver and wealth and all this on you. It's not what it's saying. And when it tells you this is how you treat your children, it's saying that this is how you should treat your children, and this is how most likely they're going to respond if they're wise, if they're doing right. So again, Proverbs is general principles that we should follow. And he gives us what should generally happen. But again, God doesn't control other people. Everybody has free will. Your children have the will to respond to you the way that they desire. But God is saying, if you raise them this way, like the famous Proverbs 22 and verse 6, if you teach your children in the way in which they should go when they are old, they will not depart. It's saying, if you do this, there is a good foundation, a good chance that they're going to follow that, that they're going to make the choice to do that. But again, it's still their choice. So enough with that, but Proverbs is general principles. But it's wisdom. It's wisdom that we should follow. It's wisdom that's going to guide our way. And again, like we've already said, he said, seek wisdom more than silver and gold. There's a lot of people out there that are seeking silver and gold. And you know what a lot of those people end up doing? They may get their silver and gold, but they end up losing it because they don't have the wisdom to know how to deal with it. They may stumble into some money, but you hear about all the time. People, their business falling apart. Well, why? Well, they didn't know how to treat their employees. They didn't know how to handle the money they had. They didn't know how to treat their customers, things like that. You want wisdom first. Because wisdom can build a foundation for you to be able to know how to deal with people, know how to deal with situations, to know how to use your money wisely. So you want wisdom more than the silver and gold, because if you get the silver and gold, wisdom will help you to be sustained, to keep it. It says that wisdom was the thing that was guiding God in the creation of the heavens and earth. If you think the creation is amazing, God is saying you can have great wisdom too if you seek it, and if you seek it from me. So there's a lot of things in here, but foremost, wisdom calls us, because we all know that there's times in life where we just don't know what to do. And I'm going to repeat that a lot this morning, because that's the point, is we need wisdom from God. We get in situations, we get in relationships, and we just don't know how to handle what's going on. Sometimes people just blow us out of the water with the way that they treat us, with the things that they do, and wisdom will help us to deal rightly in those situations. Sometimes things happen to us, but wisdom will help us to handle the situations appropriately. So wisdom calls to us, and wisdom in its call is saying you don't have to stumble through life. You don't have to live confused. You don't have to feel like you're always lost, because God has said, I'll give you wisdom. I'll help you to make your decisions. I'll lead you in the right way. But from the very beginning of the book, wisdom begins with a proper perspective of God. It's the foundation for everything. Your life, your struggles, the problems that you have, they're going to continue to happen. It's going to be this evil cycle that's going to drive you crazy if you don't begin with the proper perspective of God. In chapter 1 and verse 7 of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to start to understand life? It begins by understanding that there's a God. And God created the heavens and the earth. And we have to let that fact guide everything that we believe and everything that we think. And that fact has to guide our relationships. It has to guide our business practices. It has to guide everything that we do. It has to guide our relationship with God. And sometimes we even separate the fear of the Lord with our relationship with the Lord. In Proverbs 9, in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In Proverbs 10, in verse 27, by the way, if you don't have an outline, there's some more back there on the table, and it's got all the passages there that we're going to be flying through this morning. Proverbs 10, 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. If I know that I am living my life with respect for the Creator, I can go to sleep at night. I can have peace. Because the God who made the heavens and the earth is guiding my way. He's helping me to see where I've turned wrong and getting me back on the right way. You want peace. You want life. You want the best that you can have in a sin-torn world. Give yourself to the Lord. And to His wisdom, seek out His understanding. God must factor into our daily lives. He's got to be the guide. He is the guiding principle of wisdom. But that takes humility. Proverbs 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Why? Why before honor comes humility? Because we've got to be willing to say, I need you, Lord. You and I have to be willing to admit, I don't have all the answers. And I am lost at times. I am confused at times. And I know I've made bad decisions at times. It takes humility to be able to say that. There's so many people that just won't admit when they've made a wrong decision. And they keep making the wrong decisions because they don't have the humility to be able to face up to it. But in Proverbs 28 and verse 14, how blessed is the man who fears always, But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. He said, before honor comes humility. If you humble yourself, if you admit, I need the Lord, if you say, I need the wisdom, he'll bless you. He'll honor you. But if you harden your heart and you say, I'm my own man, I can make decisions, I know how to lead my own life, you're going to fall into calamity again and again and again. But it won't just benefit you, it'll benefit your family. It'll benefit every relationship that you're in. In Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Now you could look at that passage two ways. And I think either way is obviously true and taught by other passages. If you fear the Lord, if you are His child, He is your refuge. But I think the Bible also teaches that if you fear the Lord, your children will have a refuge. Because He was your refuge, the Lord will be their refuge. Do you want your kids to have peace? Do you want them to have the best life possible? Seek wisdom from the Lord and live it yourself. You know, one of the worst things that we do is we tell our children to seek the Lord, and then they see in our lives sometimes that we're not doing that. We often talk about the greatest sermon we can ever preach is the life that we live for God. And that's the greatest sermon you can ever preach to your children, is that they see wisdom, they see God working out in your life. And the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Only time we're going to go outside Proverbs this morning is in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9, also written by Solomon. But he says something here we need to think about. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, little pokers for animals. And masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They'll poke us in the right direction. They'll plant us firm into life, like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Before we talk about anything else, you need to get a hold of this. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. The conclusion is this: seek the Lord, fear the Lord, obey His commandments. This is it. That's it. That's life, is living for the Lord. And that's going to give you the best life possible. And, as we know, it'll lead us to the best life for all eternity. Wisdom begins with a proper perspective of God. Proverbs chapter 2 talks about some of the primary benefits of wisdom. I think it's interesting here the things that are emphasized in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to all those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of the godly ones. It's what we've already talked about. One of the primary benefits of wisdom is peace in knowing I'm following the ways of the Lord. He will guard the people that follow this way. Do you want to live every day? Do you want to wake up in the morning knowing that God Himself is guarding your way? He'll do that by listening to His wisdom. He guards us by telling us the way we ought to live. He protects us and provides for us in that way. But beginning in verse 9, of Proverbs 2. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Something that goes throughout all the Bible, and we'll see it in our study of Proverbs, is sometimes we're deceived by people. And you need to realize, and I imagine many of you have already realized, but if not, you need to realize there are people out there who live to deceive you. And they've got various reasons for it. To somehow, maybe they just want people to follow them. They just want a following. Maybe somehow they're going to make some money off of you. Maybe somehow they're going to get you to take the fall for something that they've done. There's evil people who want to involve you in evil for their own benefit. And one of the blessings, one of the benefits of wisdom is if you follow this, it's like God pointing and saying, see that guy? See that woman? Run. Stay away from him. Stay away from her because she's going to get you in trouble. And he may lead you to death. God guards us from people who want to involve us in evil, which not only can cause problems in our life, but it separates us from Him. In verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. Proverbs is filled with information about sexual temptation and sexual immorality. We're going to have a whole lesson dedicated to what Proverbs says about that. But wisdom will guard you from it. If you'll listen when we look at those things, it'll guard you from it. It'll keep you from regrets. It'll keep you from destroying your marriage before you ever begin it. It'll help you to preserve your marriage. It'll help to bless your marriage. Sexuality is supposed to be a powerful blessing. God's the one that created us. Our sexual hormones, whatever you want to call it, those are powerful physical things within us, and God created us to make it powerful. So it would be a powerful blessing within marriage. But once we abuse that power, it'll tear you apart from the inside out. But wisdom will guard you from sexual temptation. In verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 2, so you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. There are a lot of people that if you ask them, are you a good person? Most people are going to answer that yes. I told you when I went to California, when y'all sent me to California a couple years ago to work with that church there, and we did some evangelism. One of the methods we used when we talked to people is we would begin, we would ask them about what they think about Jesus. Several people would say, well, you know, he's my Savior and things like that. And then we would follow up with the question, are you a good person? And they would say, yeah, I think so. And I ask them, well, have you lied a time or two? Well, yeah. Have you thought about or participated in sexual things with people that are not your spouse? Well, yeah. Have you ever taken something that's not yours? Yeah. You ever use God's name in vain? Yeah? So you're a liar. You're a thief. You're sexually immoral and you're a blasphemer. And you're telling me you're a good person. But you know what? If we've done those things once, it makes us those things. Now, there's a difference between someone that's a perpetual liar or, a kleptomaniac or something. Yes, I understand that. I recognize that. But the point is, once you sin, you can't take that away. You have done that. And we need to recognize that we need God, or we're not good people. And when we follow the wisdom of the Lord, when God is the guiding principle of our life and His Word tells us everything and helps us to make our decisions, I can be assured that I'm a good person. I'm living right. My life is honorable. It doesn't matter what people say to me if I know that the Lord honors me because of the way that I'm living, because I've submitted myself to Him. So one of the benefits of wisdom is just simply knowing I've made the right choice. And I know it because God told me to make that choice. And so that's a wonderful benefit. It's a comfort to know that you've made the right choice and that you're a good person. But we can only know that through the wisdom of the Lord. Who is wise or foolish in God's eyes? Now, Proverbs is going to talk about a lot of wise and foolish things that we do and we need to take hold of. But in general, I think what we're going to talk about right now is the foundation for all of those things that makes you a wise person or a foolish person. Who is a fool in God's eyes? Proverbs tells us that a fool is someone who trusts in himself. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems right to me, but its end is the way of death. God says, you're a fool if you think you know more than me. If you think that you can get through this life all right without me. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Let me tell you what I think about it. It doesn't matter what I think in the end. All that matters is what God thinks. And no matter what you think about something, a situation, a choice, no matter what you think is ethical, what only matters in the end is what God thinks is ethical. What God says is the right choice. And God says you're a fool if you won't listen to me. Proverbs 26 and verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And I'm coming to you as one, as I've recognized that I have lived that verse. I have been a person at times, and probably will be in the future at some point, that I'll have to step back and say, Heath, you need to listen. You need to stop just trying to tell people what you think. And listen to what other people are trying to tell you. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. If we're not willing to listen, there's more hope for a fool than for us. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And often, what goes along with trusting in ourselves is what we already talked about again, not willing to own up to our mistakes. We want to blame other people. In Proverbs 19 and verse 3, the foolishness of man ruins his way and his heart rages against the Lord. You follow that? The foolishness, my foolishness and your foolishness, is what gets us into trouble. And sometimes we want to say, God, why have you done this to me? We blame God for it. And then maybe it's not God. We also blame other people for the mistakes that we make. You know, look at the very first sin. When Adam ate of that, God said, what have you done? Well, the woman, you know, it's her fault. If she hadn't come and talked all good about this, I wouldn't have done it. Point is, Adam, you did do it. It doesn't matter how you got there, you did it. And sometimes we need to stop looking at other people and say, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's my mom's fault, it's my dad's fault, it's my preacher's fault, and just say, it's my fault. Because even if someone deceives us, God is saying, I'm giving you the wisdom to get out of that. To know when someone's pointing you the wrong way. Now, of course, God doesn't point you the wrong way. But we need to be willing to own up to our mistakes and not blame other people, especially not God, for our own foolishness. God says that a wise person humbly recognizes his need for the Lord's guidance. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Again, it's the same point, but you need to hear it. You need to think about it. You have to recognize that in your daily life, you know, sometimes we try to box things. God will tell me how I'm to worship him. But, you know, in business, that's me. That's all me. In my marriage, that's me. I'm going to decide how I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to decide how I'm going to be a wife. We box God. We say, God, we'll allow you to tell us here, but over here, I'm going to make the decisions. A wise person recognizes I need God in every single aspect of my life, or I'm going to make a mess of it. And again, this takes humility. Look in Proverbs 19, 20, and verse 21. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. That's just a practical application of what it means to recognize your need for the Lord's guidance. That means before I make plans, I'm going to go preach over here. I pray to the Lord about it. I study about it. I seek His wisdom for it. Before I decide I'm going to start this business, before I decide I'm going to date this girl, I'm going to date this boy, I pray to the Lord about it. I recognize that I can make a mistake and I can make a mess of it, and so I'm going to commit this plan to the Lord before I ever do anything about it. And when I listen to His counsel, He says it'll stand. It'll stand. I don't have to worry about it falling apart. Now, other people may sin, other people may cause problems, but I don't have to regret my decision because I did it by committing it to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. But it takes humility. Proverbs 18 and verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. When I read this passage, it reminded me of a short lesson Brother Newman did last year, I think, where he talks about some people say in a condescending type of way, oh, you know, God is your crutch. Yeah. Yeah, He is. And I have no problem saying that. Now, they mean God is my crutch in the sense that He doesn't exist, and so I had to create Him. People had to create Him so that we can have somebody that we can pretend to pray to and all that. And, you know, that's a topic for another day. But in a very real sense, God is our crutch. He's the one that we can lean on, not on our own understanding, but on the God who made the universe. I want to lean on Him because He can point me the right way. He can help me in my life. But notice what the last part of the verse said. The righteous runs into it and is safe. The wisdom of the world says you don't need to run. You stand and fight and you be your own man. The wisdom of God says run. Run to me. Flee the world. Flee immorality. Seek me. I'll guide you. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. We have to be willing to run. And we have to be humble enough to run. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Here's the answer to that. Don't worry about what men think. Don't have a fear of man. Don't worry about what your friends think. Don't worry about what your parents think. You know, this is the one aspect where we don't have to care what other people think. We need to be interested in showing ourselves to be a good example and those kinds of things. But when it comes to making a decision between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, who cares what the world thinks? God's my creator. And the fear of man leads to a snare. But he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Don't worry, we're not going to be talking a lot about all the rest of these Proverbs. You can read them later, but we'll just mention some things. Proverbs 5, verses 12 through 14 kind of sums up what we're saying. And you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. He's saying, I didn't listen to people who were trying to guide me in the right way. We need to listen to God, and we need to listen to good people to guide us in the right way. And he's saying, I'm regretting it now because now I'm in a mess. I wish I had listened to the counsel of others. A lot of these other passages say basically the same thing. Proverbs 15 and verse 22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Talk to God, talk to other people you trust. Seek out wisdom. Proverbs 1. I want you to read the first 7 verses of the book of Proverbs with me. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see the contrast there? The person he says is wise, he's seeking to learn more. But the fool despises wisdom and instruction. I'm asking you today, and I'm asking myself to examine myself today, am I a wise person or am I a fool person? Am I a fool in the eyes of God? And the difference is am I willing to listen? Am I willing to learn? Or am I just going to be stuck in my own ways, and I'm going to do it my way, and it doesn't matter what the Lord says, and it doesn't matter what the good counsel of other people say. Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 12, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. Again, it's the same thing. A scoffer, a fool, you try to correct him? Oh, you know, you're just stupid. A wise man will say, I'm going to think about that a lot. I'm going to try to do better. I want to do better. Thank you for trying to help me and trying to teach me. That is the difference between a wise man and a fool. Wise learn, fools don't, is the main point. In Proverbs 13 and verse 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 13, the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. You're going to be in debt to it. If you live life like a fool, if you're not willing to listen to God, if you're not willing to listen to the wise counsel of others, what Proverbs 13 and verse 13 says is you're going to be in debt to it. It's going to come back to haunt you. But the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. And then in verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. It's going to come back to haunt you, and your foolishness is going to be on display. It's going to be exposed before everyone else. People are going to say, that fool should have listened. That fool should have listened to God and to the good counsel of other people. In Proverbs 22, in verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you, Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you?" We don't have to be fools. He said, "Have I not given these things to you? I've given you wisdom, and it's wisdom from the Lord. You can take it, and you can live life with it." In Proverbs 24, in verse 11, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, 'See, we did not know this,' does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work?" You see the contrast there? The guy is trying to say, "Well, but I didn't know it." He's trying to plead ignorance. He says, God's going to judge you according to your work. You can't plead ignorance when God has given you the knowledge. The problem is you, if you don't read the book, yeah, sure, in one way you can say, "I didn't know it," but God's going to say, "It was right before you. It was there all the time." So that's not going to work. We can't plead ignorance. And in verse 13, "My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Seeking wisdom, applying wisdom, is not always easy. But what he's saying is if you'll listen, and if you'll do that, there's a bright future ahead of you. For this life, and especially for the next. Are you a fool, or are you wise? Will you listen, or do you scoff when God tries to tell you how to lead your life? This hasn't been a lesson about becoming a Christian. But God says, "You've sinned against me, and I will condemn you to eternal death. But I have provided you, in my deep love, I have provided you with the way of escape. If you will come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized into his death, and rise up to walk in newness of life, you can have forgiveness of sins." A wise person will listen. A wise person will say, "I need that." If you need that this morning, come as we sing this song.